Morning, ladies and gentlemen. In London, we're in such a Gresham Street, and in Johannesburg, we're in our Greyston offices, and I can't see you, but I presume everyone is there. My name is Hendrik du Toit, and on behalf of myself and Fanny Titi, I welcome you to our interim results presentation for the 2019 financial year. But before we start, I'd like to say a short word of thank you. Thank you, firstly, to our predecessors, Stephen Costas, Bernard Canton, who are both here. Bernard, in spite of having had an operation, made the effort to come and listen and make sure Fanny and I make no mistakes. We'll try our best. Thank you for the help in the transition. Thank you for the support you gave us up, you know, in preparing for today. Our chairman, Terry Crosthwaite, many of our board members and colleagues from senior management, but most importantly, the 10,000 people who made this result, 10,000 people who serve our clients, who are busy working as we speak to build the Investec business. Thank you very much for what you've achieved during the transition period and also putting our business on the right footing for growth, because that's the story Fanny and I want to share with you. I'm going to ask Fanny to do most of the presentation, but I'd just like to say very simply, in a nutshell, our business has good momentum in spite of pretty tough macro conditions. We're lifting the return on equity, we're concentrating on it. Our asset and wealth management businesses are gathering significant net flows and growing. And I think what's really important, the people in Investec are also ready for the major strategic move we announced, namely the demerger, which is all about focus, simplicity, and setting up the platform for growth for the long term. But it's my privilege to ask my joint CEO and partner, Fanny Titi, to do most of the presentation today. I'll take some difficult questions at the end. Fine.
Thank you. Thank you, Hendrik, and good morning, ladies and gentlemen. As you can see, we are a tech team, so I'll do a bit of the lifting this morning. I'm going to try work both my iPad and the screen, so Varuni, just check on me if I don't move the screen over there. As Hendrik indicated, we are quite privileged and honored to be presenting the results and to be leading the business. We believe the results reflect a very sound financial performance. Hendrik has spoken about the fact that the ROE of the group is increasing. At March 2018, our ROE was at 12.1%. We are now at 13.4%. So we are making progress in the execution of our strategy. And as Hendrik indicated again, we've had solid flows in asset management and in the wealth business, about 4.8 billion in total. And the specialist bank in the UK has done particularly well, in fact, just about doubling profits in the period. So as we go forward, because I don't want to repeat what Hendrik said, as we go forward, our concentration and our focus will be on revenue growth, on capital allocation, and on cost discipline. These results have been achieved despite very tough economic and market conditions. In South Africa, where we have a substantial operation, the South African economy has been particularly weak given the lack of confidence that is occasioned by political uncertainty. So you will generally see that the performance of both the bank in South Africa and the wealth and investment business will be muted, although there was an increase in rents, but it was a very tough market overall. In the UK, as we all know, Brexit has been the key issue of concern. Looks like there's been some progress, but we don't know whether that is real progress or not, but we shall see as time unfolds. But the impact of that ongoing uncertainty is that both corporate and consumer confidence is affected. If we look at equity markets, we all know that we are in a period where liquidity is being drained out of the global financial system. US interest rates are going up. There is a threat, as you know, of some trade wars. Overall, what has been a very synchronized world economic growth is beginning to stutter. And the effect is that we have significant market volatility and uncertainty. In particular, the effect on emerging markets has been particularly strong. So if we look at the snapshot of the results, growth in operating profit and adjusted EPS is recorded at 14.2% and growth in operating profit 14.2%, growth in adjusted EPS at 6.4%. We will unpack the difference in growth rates a little later. Again, as we said, significant flows in asset management and wealth at 4.8 billion, taking total assets under management to 166.5 billion pounds. In the specialist bank, one of the key drivers has been a substantial reduction in impairments as a consequence of us having largely dealt with the legacy portfolio. We did, beyond the significant impact of the reduction in impairments, we did see revenue growth. We also had a reasonable level of activity supporting earnings and revenue. The cost-to-income ratio has improved slightly. It is still above our target range of under 65%, but we are beginning to see revenue grow faster than cost. Revenue growing at 7.6%, while costs are growing at 7.2%. We have been investing quite significantly, particularly in the UK. Hendrik and the asset management team have been investing over a period of time. Now that is the job of Mimi and John, but there is significant investment in the base. So as we go forward, we should reap the benefit of that investment, but also reap the benefits of scale as our revenues continue to improve. We have a solid base of annuity income, which supports earnings as we go forward. Annuity income comprises, in this result, 76% of income. So just to show you the results with a waterfall graph, you will see that we started with 314.6 million pounds, and that we've had significant improvement of 14% in asset management in the UK and other regions, that we've had a significant increase of 96% in the specialist bank in the UK, and that is not only a consequence of the reduction in impairment. There has been improvement in the underlying business as well. You will know that when markets are this choppy, that your investment income, both in listed equity and unlisted equity, will generally be impacted negatively. So the story is not just about the reduction in impairments. There has been fundamental improvement in the underlying performance of the business. The asset management business in South Africa is up 9% in rents, so a creditable performance given the tough market and economic backdrop. The wealth and investment business in the UK is largely flat, down about 7% or so. It really is a cost story there because we've had to make investments in IT people. We've had regulatory costs as well. We know about MiFID. We know about GDPR. In essence, there was an improvement in operating income. As I say, there's been a cost issue there. So, in general, good performance in the business, helped largely by the asset management business in the UK and the specialist banking business in the UK as well, but solid performance and resilient performance, in fact, by the businesses that are affected by the markets. We have benefited from consistent contribution across geographies and businesses. If we look at geographic diversity, the combined UK and other regions business grew up by 40.2% in pounds. That really is quite impressive growth in profits. If you look at South Africa, we have growth of 5% in rand. As I said, that economy has been buffeted by a number of headwinds, so that performance, in my view, is resilient given the environment. We have also seen an improved geographic balance in that profit from South Africa versus non-South Africa regions has improved from 35% to 43% of total profit, so there's a better balance in terms of profit contribution from the regions. If you look at business diversity, we see a consistent contribution over a long period of time, and with the contribution from capital light businesses at 36%. If we look at growth in key earnings drivers, starting with third-party assets under management, I have already indicated that we have assets under management at £166.5 billion. In currency neutral, on a currency neutral basis, the increase is 7.2% as opposed to the pound increase of 3.7%. If we look at customer accounts and loans and advances, customer accounts decreased by 2.1%. Again, there's a currency impact there. On a currency neutral basis, customer accounts would have increased by 4.3%. If we look at core loans and advances, a decrease of 3.7% in pounds, but on a currency neutral basis, an increase of 2.4%. If we look at the loans to deposit ratio, it has been consistent in the high 70s. In this reporting period, it is at 78.2%. If you look at this movement in key earnings drivers, you can see that the engine room is running in a disciplined manner. The operating income was up 7.6% to £1.3 billion. Again, if you look at where we were in September 17, you will see that net interest income has increased quite significantly at 11%, with net annuity fee income up at 3%. We have fees and operating income up 17%, and I would like to mention that the corporate advisory business in the UK performed particularly well. You will see that the investment and associate income line was significantly affected. You see a reduction of 27% there. As I indicated earlier, when markets are this difficult and this choppy, you will always see an impact in or weaker performance in listed and unlisted equities. That was the key driver of that particular reduction in performance on that line. Looking at operating income, I have already indicated that recurring income as a percentage of total income is consistently large at about 76%. Looking at the balance of in the business model, over the period that Stephen and Bernard and Glenn have been running the business, you will know that strategically we wanted to increase the contribution of capital light activities. You can see now that in this reporting period, that comes in at 55%, and we are quite pleased with the trend over the last 5 years. I have mentioned that we are beginning to see Sorry, I'm trying to, yeah, that's the right one. We are beginning to see the jaws widening. So the efficiency of the business and the scale that comes, the efficiency that comes also with scale is beginning to show results. If you look at costs, just to give you a bit of color around costs, you will see that premises went up 14%. As you know, both the bank here and the asset management business have been in the process of moving premises, so we've had some additional costs there. Business expenses have gone up 18%. Again, that is driven largely by regulatory costs. I spoke about MiFID earlier, and I spoke about GDPR. Those costs would have affected asset management. It would have affected also the wealth and investment business and the bank also. You will see the personnel costs went up 6%. We've added about 180 people between the two periods, and the majority of those 180 will have gone into regulatory areas. So the regulatory burden, unfortunately, is not lightening up at all. Just to get back to impairments, as you can see in the graph there, the light gray bar has largely disappeared because we have dealt with the legacy portfolio. There is still a small residual of about £189 million, but as we go forward, we take it that the legacy issue has been dealt with, so we are reporting simply on a statutory basis and not looking at ongoing and statutory, because we have dealt with the issues of the past. So in summary, if you look at operating profit for the period, started at 315 million, ended at 359 million, strong growth in operating income. As I said, the engine room is ticking on nicely. We've had the benefit of a reduction in impairment of 29 million. We've had operating expenses, as I have explained in the previous slide, and you will see there that there was an 86% increase in non-controlling interest, driven largely by IPF, Invested Property Fund earnings growth. We consolidated at the top. Obviously, we take minorities out. That partly explains some of the differences in the growth in operating profit. When you look at the growth in attributable profit, that is 8.2%. That's part of the difference. When you look at growth in EPS, adjusted EPS, that growth is 6.4%. Obviously, the tax in this period is lower than it was last year, and we also have had an increase in shares issued. If we go to the next page, looking at the performance again, I will just talk about the dividend. Oh, Stephen, I see what you meant. I needed to move the screen forward. What did I say? No, tax was higher in this period. That's what I mean. Oh, thank you. You see, we still have the old master here. By the way, Stephen picked up an error in some of the numbers yesterday, and there was a big argument in the business as to whether a particular number was correct or not. So you have to give your due to the old lions, as Stephen calls the group that's going up. So on this slide, I would just like to highlight the fact that we have a dividend growth of 4.8% in pounds against a growth in adjusted EPS of 6.4%. In rand, that growth in the dividend will be 3% because the rand is stronger now than it was in November last year. Those who live in South Africa know that in November last year, the outlook, the political and economic outlook, was quite significantly concerning. If we look at performance against financial targets, ROE is at 13.4%, as I said, against a target of 12 to 16. What is impressive here is that the ROE trend has been upwards over a number of years. We will see the relevant graph in a minute or so. I have talked about the cost-to-income ratio improving a little bit, still outside of target, but we are hopeful that we can get into target. The dividend cover at 2.6 times is in the middle of the range. And as you can see, at September 17, it was also at about 2.5. So generally, at interim, that's where we normally are. We will see what we do at final. If we go to the next slide, you can see there the trend in ROE growth that I referred to, a consistent improvement over time, given some of the key decisions that have been taken over the last few years, and given the execution on the strategic decisions taken the last few years. As we go forward, we hope to continue to see improvement based on growing the underlying client franchises, being disciplined around costs, and optimizing capital allocation. So if we look at certain aspects of the balance sheet is sound. The business is well capitalized, lowly leveraged, with strong liquidity. So I'm going to go into a quick review of the different divisions, starting with asset management. As we have announced, there is a Capital Markets Day on Tuesday where we will go into significant detail into the asset management business. So we will just go through quickly over this because we do have a big day coming on Tuesday where the team will go into the detail of the business. We've seen growth of 10% in operating profit to $91.5 million. The operating margin is at 31.4%. We've seen a slight compression in the margin. At September 17, the margin was 31.8%. As I said earlier, we continue to invest in key strategic growth areas. The AUM over the reporting period increased 5.1% to 109%. Billion, we have indicated the substantial net inflows of 4.1 billion. If we just look briefly at the strategic priorities of this business, the business is managed for the long term. So the focus is never short term, and we look to attain sustainable growth. So we will be looking to concentrate our effort on our existing offering where we are differentiated and we have performance. We're not going to try to be all things to all people. Only where we're differentiated and we have performance, that's where we will continue to spend our effort. We will continue to look for scale through our global distribution model with specifically into the institutional an advisor channel that we have been targeting and growing over the years. We look to capture the next wave of flows, specifically the rebalancing in the North American institutional market. We also are positioning ourselves for the future in that we do believe Asia in the long term is an area of significant opportunity. We will obviously continue to do hard work in the remaining markets that we have done well in over time. As always, we will continue to deepen and strengthen our investment and client capabilities. This business is about being relevant to clients and the creation of value and shareholder value specifically in the long term. If we look at the wealth and investment business, as I indicated, we had an increase in operating income of 4.4%, but we've had some cost issues that I have talked about already. So increase in income, significant increase in costs. Again, we've been investing significantly in this business for future growth. Some of you will know about our digital platform in the wealth business called Click and in the South African business, in conjunction with the private bank, we have the one place. So investment in digital platforms is one of our key strategic focus areas as we go forward. The asset under management grew by 4.5% in neutral currency, representing a net flow of 650 million. These performances are consistent with the industry, given just how difficult operating conditions are. The business will continue to focus on internationalization. The business will also continue to focus on enhancing their range of services and products to their clients. I've already spoken about the need to invest in digital capabilities, and specifically Click in South Africa, one place, with the integration of the South African wealth business, or the collaboration between the South African wealth business and the private bank. We will also focus in particular in the UK market on financial planning. If I move to the specialist bank, firstly globally, an increase in profits of 18.8% to 245 million. We've spoken about the increase in the profitability of the specialist bank in the UK. We've also indicated the resilient performance of the South African specialist bank, even though earnings are up by 4.2% only, because that market has been particularly tough. The cost-to-income ratio of the specialist banking business globally is now at 60%, operating income going up at 7.1%, and costs up at 5.6%. You will remember that we have been investing pretty significantly in the private bank in the UK. That is largely done now. That cost is in the base, so we would expect as we go forward to gain some benefit out of that. I have already indicated growth in core drivers of the business in customer accounts and in loans and advances. With respect to customer accounts, we saw in this period a significant increase in retail deposits, and therefore the quality of our liabilities has increased. If we dig a little deeper into the specialist banking business in the UK and other regions, net interest income up 18.7%, net fees up 14%. What is really important on this particular slide is the history more than just the numbers for the period. If you look over a five-year period, you can see consistent increase in net interest income. You can see increases in net fees. You can see contribution in investment in associate income. So this is not just a one reporting season issue. We have been growing the business consistently. The franchise is growing. If we look at the return on equity, we can see that for this period, our return on equity is at 9.3%. We were at 3.2% at March. So there has been a significant increase in return on equity. Our objective would be to have a double-digit return on equity as we go forward. As you can see, we are not too far from there. Hopefully this is the last time you still see that black line that says ongoing, because we dealt with the issues of the past. We are now reporting on a statutory basis. If we go to the South African banking business, I've indicated that it has been affected by a tough operating environment. So we've seen softer loan book growth, client flow trading has been weak as well as investment income. But this is a resilient business. We have a premier position in the South African banking market, and our clients are very resilient as well. So we have also been investing in new areas of growth in the South African banking business. We have, as an example, invested in Invested for Life. We have recently reorganized our business offering to the mid-market in Invested for Business, and we will be launching transactional services in that market. So that business is resilient, and they are looking at new ways to grow revenue, but more importantly, to serve their client base. Just looking at the return on equity there, the return on equity for this particular period is 12.4%. Obviously, this business has a large equity portfolio that in this period returned 6.9%. We generally do judge the performance of the investment portfolio on the basis of the internal rate of return. So if you see that that ROE that just factor into your mind that there is a large investment portfolio there, the bank and wealth business in South Africa is quite integrated as well. And if you were to look at those businesses together, you will see that the performance on an ROE basis is quite encouraging. We would, in the long term, be looking at returns in the South African specialist banking and wealth business of over 15%. So if you look at the strategic priorities of the bank and wealth business post-demerger, when we will not have access to the earnings and cash from asset management, we would see our ROE still being significantly higher than where you would have thought if you simply stripped out asset management. So we would be looking at a target range of between 11 and 5% post demerger. Sorry? 11 and 15, what did I say?
5.
Oh, 15, goodness me. Thanks, Nish. This time around I was caught by a young lion as opposed to the old lion. Thanks, Nish. So our concentration as we go forward will be to grow the underlying client franchise. This is what this business is about. Client acquisition and deepening of existing client relationships. We will be looking to continue the progress that has been made in the UK private bank. We will also, as I've indicated, be investing in technology platforms. Spoke about one place in South Africa, Click and Invest here, and generally other investment in technology to improve efficiency, to improve client experience, and to improve client acquisition. We believe technology is important, so we generally will be high tech, but we will remain high touch as well, because we believe personal service is absolutely critical as we go forward. I've indicated that we've invested a lot, that because the investment is in the base, revenue is beginning to grow, and we have a disciplined cost approach, that we would look to improve the JOS ratio. We will also look to manage our capital base. Specifically, we would be looking at efficient capital allocation. We would look to address in future the dilution that has been caused by issues of shares to the share scheme, and the philosophy will be to buy back shares as opposed to issuing them. But we will give you more detail on that particular aspect later on. We intend to have a capital markets day for the bank and wealth business on the 26th of February. This business is about clients, and this business is about the people that work in it. Because if we concentrate on clients, if we create an environment that motivates the people that Hendrik spoke about, the 10,000, we should be able to create value in the long term. Hendrik, do you want to conclude with this slide, or should I just take it?
Should I take it?
Okay. So in conclusion, we are a team. In conclusion,
you're on a roll.
In conclusion, we are committed to stakeholder value. Oh, the slide. Thank you. I'm supposed to be one of the most technologically savvy members of the board, but I'm struggling. In conclusion, we're committed to shareholder value. We have indicated that we are going to look to simplify the business, to sharpen our focus as we grow, and do so in a disciplined manner. Post-demerger, we will release two independent businesses that are posed for long-term growth and value creation. Thank you very much. Hendrik, will you take the question?
Any questions? Shall we start with Johannesburg? Let's be democratic. While the other guys are deciding on Brexit, we've got to Johannesburg.
Are we on?
Yes, Kieran. Hey, on.
Kieran, is there any questions here?
See, the Rudy is not there.
No questions.
We have one, Hendrik.
Yeah.
Good morning. My name is Tiseto. I'm from Reuters. I just have a question for Fani. Discovery and three new banks are coming into town. Do you lose any sleep over that? Thank you.
Fani, do you want me to answer that, seeing as it's a South African issue?
I'm happy for you to take it, Kieran.
Okay. First of all, there is a lot of competition in our market in South Africa. It's not just Discovery. The second point, I think that there are many other financial services organizations in South Africa who should be a lot more worried about Discovery coming in than ourselves. We are a very niche organization. We provide wealth and banking services both locally and offshore. That is a key part of our offering to a very select niche target market base. So, yes, everyone says you welcome competition. Well, you know, I'll say that with a smile on my face. Competition is good because it is good for the market. But we wish Discovery well and also the other organizations that are coming now to do well, because that will maintain the integrity of the financial service system, which is very important.
Thanks, Kieran. Kieran is the global head of the private bank, and in the new era, he will be the head of risk. So let's see what Discovery has to offer. Competition is good. Shoppings are gained. Beneficial to clients. We welcome them.
We have another question here.
Morning, guys. Congratulations on the results. It's Banky from Merrill Lynch. Just one quick question. Your ROE improved to 13.4%. Could you just please tell us what the impact of IFRS 9 was on your ROE?
Fani will deal with that. Okay. We've done the numbers. Michelin, do you want to talk about it? In essence, the impact was about 250 million.
The ball goes down the back line. It's now the outside center.
This will be our CFO.
Right. I think the impact of IFRS 9, obviously opening reserves were adjusted. That was about £265 million. That would have added about 0.4% to the underlying ROE number. The income statement effects of IFRS 9 has been fairly muted because we haven't really seen any key change from a modeling perspective. I think fundamentally, you see the growth in ROE in the current period really supported by the underlying fundamentals of the business.
Thanks, Mish. I just want to say, on an ROE type of thing, it is an overtime metric, and it's an overtime consistent metric. So to get too hung up about a particular number at a point in time defocuses. You've got to look at the trend, and I think that's why I finally try to show you the trend. Well, we have to be here. Actually, I won't be here. But finally, we'll be explaining to you that the ROE is about 15% in about 3 years' time. But don't give me, I don't hold him to any target. But that really is the point. It's over, exactly. You quoted that. So that's why I quoted the SA Bank one. Any other questions?
Any other questions here in Johannesburg? That's it.
Thank you.
Fani.
Thank you, Kieran.
Thank you.
In London? Oh, please. There they go.
Abhishek Sinha from Citibank. Quick question around post demerger for the bank group. Is there any thought around the current dual listed company structure, or that stays as is?
No, that will stay as is. We want to be quite categoric about it, that there's a while there is a level of complexity, we do believe that in the long term, this is the right structure for us. So we've considered the issue, but we're quite clear that that is the structure that we will have going forward. I think it would be a problem trying to take the Sahagun business into the UK market if you wanted to collapse this way. I don't think you can get regulatory approval for that. Similarly, trying to take the UK bank to be owned by the South African business would not work commercially. So we are quite definitive about it. This is the structure for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, and obviously it's exactly the opposite for the asset management business because it's a simple business. It's not a capital market dependent business. And I think that would be a move away from the DLC for obvious reasons. Subject, of course, to regulatory approval and ultimately shareholder approval.
Thank you.
Any other questions? I think we can maybe almost tea time, finally. Thank you very much for supporting us today and being here, and we look forward to your attendance at the Capital Markets Days coming up, and then of course we'll be back after what is probably a slightly tougher macro environment in the second 6 months of the year, and we hopefully would have delivered on the agenda we've given you, which is simplification, focus, and disciplined growth. Thank you very much.
That's the results will be yours to present.
Tell them.
Oh, no. Thank you.